SV Pod is presented by Allstate. Switch to Allstate and save and get protected from this year's mayhem. Welcome, it's SV Pod. Stanford Steve is here. I am sick.
Oh, new lead.
I don't know if I'm officially sick, but my whole house is sick, which means it's just, it's a matter of time. So, whether it's here, on the show, it will reveal itself.
Okay.
I'll be ill-tempered. I'm in no mood.
Okay.
I'm fine. I just
put the blinders on.
We're good. Head down.
I'll leave the room. We'll just stay out of the room.
We got Christmas coming. We're good. We're good to go. I want to start with this because I don't want to forget it. There's so much that happened. Insane football. Truly insane things that happened. But if I don't talk about it at the beginning, I could forget. Forever, I have said the best venue in college basketball is Fog Allen Fieldhouse, Lawrence, Kansas.
Yeah.
When I say that, the Duke folks are like, oh, blah, blah. No, Duke's awesome. Phenomenal. Fog Allen is two of Cameron. It holds basically twice as many people. That's all I'm saying. McHale's awesome. There are a million great. No, there aren't a million. That's hyperbole. There are many great venues. I believe Fog Allen Fieldhouse is the best of them. You were there. IU was in town. Kansas gave it to him. Assess.
Yeah, it's funny. After the game, all the Kansas people were like, man, wish you got to see a better game because that's when you feel the atmosphere. I'm like, whoa. I said, just stop. You don't want a 22-point win against Indiana? Let's not get overblown here and carried away. It lived up to everything, Scott. Maybe probably exceeded expectations. And it's hard to do now because everybody knows what they like and everybody pumps up what they love. And hearing you say it, hearing everybody that's been there, guys that cover the sport, people that work for ESPN that have been there 60 times in directing games, our guy Gus, say like it's the best. Every time it lives up for him. And to be there and be inside and people are early for the game, it's convenient to get there and everybody's there. I mean, school pride, city pride, area pride. Everybody loves their Jayhawks, and to feel it amp up, and you know what, you know, it's coming. This is two-story teams that haven't played in a long time, and a lot of Indiana people were there. I'll give them credit. They wanted to come, and sorry it didn't work out as far as the scoreboard. But, Scott, there's no, you know, now everybody turns the lights down, and there's these lighting shows, and there's speakers that are amplified. There's none of that. They don't turn the lights down. It is just genuine noise from human beings staring at their phones that are in it for that.
There you go.
The team comes out and it's a roar. And then they keep doing their clap and their clap and their clap. And I'm telling you, it's a good 2 minutes. Everybody's out of the locker room except for one guy. And that got one guy is the one guy that won the national championship last year. And then he walks out and it's, whistle is blown. Let's get the anthem and let's get this thing going because this is as loud as it's going to be. And that thing just carries in. And it's just a, you know, I feel like the thunder's always rumbling. You know, it's always up. There's always an uptick. And the team totally feeds off that. A couple huge plays to start the game. Grady Dick with a dunk, threes. That thing will get your crowd into it. But It exceeded everything. I mean,
awesome.
The people there, also shout out to everybody. Our guy Nobby, you know, Chenoweth is a legend there. He's friends with me. Coach Self and his staff just rolled out the red carpet. Absolutely an incredible weekend. And like I said, it's really hard for us that go a lot of places to be pretty wowed by a spot.
I agree.
I was wowed the whole weekend. The whole weekend.
That says it well because you do get to see you get to go behind the curtain. You get to see what it's really about. And then when you see a place that it's just, as I say, for a long time about a lot of stuff, right? All cake, no icing. Mm-hmm. That's all cake, no icing. Yep. They don't need any extra nonsense. No bullshit. It's not necessary. It's just that good. Now, you got to go a ways to get there.
Yeah.
But when you get there, I agree. I mean, I'm glad I hear what they're saying. Had it been, a couple possession game and they're battling late. There was a lot. There was a bunch of great college basketball on Saturday. Like late night was Tennessee, Arizona. Like if you've got a one possession game on the under four, you get to really feel the vibe. But when I think mostly when I was there, they were Rock Chalk, Jayhawk, KU with like 4 minutes to go. They blew people out when I was in the building. But it's a fantastic spot. I'm glad you got to see it. It means you missed some things that went on Saturday.
Yep.
Gave out the Colts in winners.
Mm.
Asked if people, it was a Bozo the Clown game. I mean, Colts are only getting four. And my point was if you took Minnesota, you're a Bozo. Because they're begging you to. And I made a very rare tactical error. I did something I never do. Because if you're a gambler, you don't speak until it's zeros on the clock. It's just the rule. And at halftime, I tweeted. Because it was 33-0. And I was getting four. And so I tweeted. And then it was overtime. And if Minnesota scored a touchdown, I would have been Bozo the Clown.
Mm.
So grateful that I wasn't, but I learned a lesson. Shut up till the ticket is officially redeemable at the window.
Mm-hmm.
And in the end it was, but it speaks to the issue with that 11-3 Minnesota team. They keep getting no respect from Vegas because their point differential's two.
Mm-hmm.
They're +2 on the season. Vegas is +1. So they have essentially the
Raiders,
same.
not the guys in Vegas, the Raiders.
But no, Vegas is +infinity. The Raiders are +1. And all credit to Minnesota for winning these games. All credit. No one is afraid to play you in the playoffs. No one's afraid to come to your building to play you. No one. Because you were down 33-0 to a 4-win team.
Mm-hmm.
Again, credit to the Vikings for winning. That's what good teams figure out ways to do. Stay in the fight, keep at it. But that was astounding, that game. I don't know. You were probably occupied at that point.
That's the other thing, Scott. It's college town, right?
Yeah.
I'm there in the heart of Lawrence, America. NFL not on one TV. Not one TV was the NFL
that's
on.
Wild. Wow, that's wild.
It was crazy. Carolina, Ohio State. Virginia, Houston, obviously a must, but like all college, all of it.
That's
wild. It was amazing. And that's
makes sense.
Till it got night, we got to multiple TV set up at one of the spots we were at. And then I did see the end of the Vikings game when we went there, and then the Browns were obviously on, and then the Bills and that whole shebang. But yeah, like 2 o'clock, we go over, get a burger at the wheel, and every single TV. I said, this is college America, man. It was, I didn't really have a problem with it because I had the Colts also, and I wasn't going to sweat out because I know they're not really good. And
yeah. You were laughing until you weren't, but
yeah. So, I didn't see the comeback. I saw the end, knowing there was a sweat now.
The Buffalo Miami game was, the way it ended in that snow globe was incredible. Allen leading him down the field to tie it down 8 felt inevitable.
Mm-hmm.
Miami impressed me. I get that they've lost 3 in a row. You want to say, hey, they lost San Francisco, they lost to the Chargers, they lost to the Bills? Yep, they did. They looked horrible against the Chargers. In really bad weather, Tua and the Dolphins were in the arena and they're throwing haymakers. And in the end, the Bills are able to kneel it and let Bass kick a game winning field goal as it hit zeros. And they did that with intention. We don't want them touching the ball again. If as much as you can impress me in losing, Miami did. I felt like they maybe made a mistake. I think they went for too early. It's easy to say that in the end,
mm-hmm.
but regardless, 60 minutes in that setting against that team and those conditions, Miami impressed me. The Bills, I'm in the tank for Allen. He hasn't been perfect all year, but man, was he awesome when he had to be on Saturday night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a couple things on Miami. I'm the same way. That was the takeaway for me, because go back. You mentioned the 3 weeks. You go get rolled and out physical against the Niners. You stay in California. You get beat and play as bad as you can offensively against the Chargers. You come all the way home knowing what's next in a trip to Buffalo. I was damn impressed. I know everybody wants a win, and you're judged on the wins and losses, but I think you found out a lot about Miami in that element, because they're, if they can't, like, the goal is to get to that game again,
yep.
Right? Snow,
part, cold, part three.
Buffalo, part the whole three, thing. Yep. I also look at Buffalo, and there was a part of me at the beginning of the year where teams might have feared them, but I don't know, man. I think that Von Miller injury is huge, because he's a guy where everything in the playoffs gets amplified, right? And that's where the great players can make plays that the other guys can't. So that's a huge thing, especially at home when you have the crowd. Pass rushers are so huge. We've seen, I mean, forever. When Buffalo's had great ones, they are phenomenal. So I look at the secondary, it's still not right. I mean, Tre'Davious is back, but obviously he's not the player he was. So that's going to be a fascinating deal, because when you look at this list right now of who's in the mix, there's some quarterbacks that are pretty dangerous. And I think the AFC is going to be pretty enticing. You know, the idea of, you know, who can beat who, it's really, really enticing to think about.
I agree. I was spent today looking at the top of the NFC, and I thought, and part of it's the Minnesota bit. And I looked at the point differential and just shook my head. Like, you're 11-3 and you're basically, you know, even for the year points. That's nuts. Mm-hmm. And then I look at Philadelphia, and you see the news that Jalen Hurts got a shoulder issue. Mm-hmm. Which I saw a report out there that could have been that I guess was erroneous, that could be season ending. Apparently it's not. That's the one giant red flag. And as much as Hurts runs, and he's over 1,000 for the year. I mean, look, we've talked a ton about him on here, just how impressed we are with him. He's without him, obviously things are very, very different there. So that was concerning. But then when I saw maybe it's just a week against Dallas, they don't know for sure. That's a tough SOB. I think he'll try to play if he can. They've already won the East, but you want to, you know, you want to have as big a margin as you can, I suppose, just as far as home field goes.
One bye.
That's what I'm saying. You want it. You'll do what you got to do to get it. Mm-hmm. But that's a concern, maybe short term. Minnesota's concern is longer term. The NFC South, I mean, good luck. It's, you know.
Let's talk about anything else besides that.
I'm not going to. I'm just
good.
They're going to host Dallas, I presume. Mm-hmm. Although, let's talk about Dallas. Their last two losses on the road were at Green Bay and Jacksonville. They had double-digit leads in both of them. And there's a lot to like there. A lot of eye candy, a lot of wow, a lot of flash. Great teams don't let and the teams they lost to, Green Bay and Jacksonville, not terrible, but not great. Mm-hmm. You can't let those types of leads get away. That's why I worry about Baltimore all year. You let that happen. You let these kind of leads get away, and then you're the Raiders. It's the same kind of thing as them. You got to put games to bed when you mm-hmm. have those kinds of leads, especially on the road in the National Football League. So all credit to the Jags for how they fought back. Suddenly, with the Titans having lost four in a row, now the Jags are in a spot where that last game of the year at home could be for the South, for the AFC South.
Yep.
But I want to stay in the NFC here. And then you get to San Francisco and you say, all right, you got a rookie QB. And I know it was forever ago, it was last Thursday. Purdy impressed me, because they said afterwards, Shanahan said he hadn't thrown a football all week. Short week, had an oblique injury, had not thrown the football. Went out there, they had a couple of great play designs to get Kittle involved. He had two touchdowns. And they went into a place where I thought they'd struggle. If had that game not been on a Thursday, Seattle would have been in winners for sure. I just thought that's a spot that I love. And San Francisco got that win, but it is still a guy who started two games in his life. Mm-hmm. And so I'm saying, all right, Philly's got a little bit of a question at quarterback. Minnesota, plus two. This NFC South, forget it. Dallas has let a couple leads get away. San Francisco's got a question at quarterback. And those are the good teams. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah.
And maybe I'm not trying to twist myself in a knot to find questions about the good teams, but I just still think that they exist. If Hurts is right, I think Philly has by far the fewest. San Francisco's not far behind because of that defense. But if it's if he's got to go to the link in an NFC championship game, I just feel like that's a whole lot to ask of somebody. Maybe I'm wrong. That's just sort of what I see on the top end of the NFC. And on the back end, you still have people like Washington. Hell, if Green Bay wins Monday night, they're still potentially in the mix. I mean, not realistic, but it could be.
No. So they got division games. They got Detroit. Week 18. So you don't know
how about Campbell how about Campbell letting him hang? Good for him.
Hell yeah. Come on. Love that man. All right. There's a lot to go here. Eagles. I will say this. All right. People have their thoughts about Brock Purdy. Okay. Seem to be all right.
Yep.
Short window here. Philly invested in a backup quarterback. They got a guy that's been in this league and he's done it. He's done it. And say what you want about him. He's a wild, you know, he's a wild man and all that stuff. Gardner Minshew could play football in the NFL.
Minshew mania?
Yes. He could do it. And that's the thing. Because now, all right, Philly, that's the situation there. Dallas, to me, the problem is, and everybody's just going to talk about Dak throwing a pick six off a tip ball that should have been caught. And correct. Then that's all anybody's going to talk about is the Dallas offense. The Dallas defense is in trouble. The Dallas defense is nowhere near what it's been. Go up and down the roster of what they started and put on the field when they went to Minnesota and gave it to them. Their secondary is in shambles, Scott.
Yeah.
Shambles.
And it's little nicks, little paper cuts here and there. Van Der Esch has an issue now. Like
had to sit a corner yesterday. They brought another guy in, and that's what I love about Doug Peterson. Like fantasy, you know it. Look at last week, and you think he liked the matchup Evan Ingram was on?
Yeah.
What do you have, 11 catches?
It was on my bench. It was.
Sorry. I didn't want to bring up a touch. I'm just talking about what I saw on the field. And then,
you know what I loved about that, just real quick, that we talk about this a lot. These coordinators that spend so much time, they want to show you how smart they are, and they spend 16 hours a day at the facility figuring out schemes and plays. You know what? No one can guard 17. Throw it to him again. Get the ball back. Throw it to
Zay
him
Jones
again.
And Zay Jones yesterday.
Yeah.
Zay Jones is the guy that gets all the targets. So that's – I mean, I talked about it at length when they got Peterson. I love that hire. I remember what Carson Wentz looked like when he was his coach. And now I look at Trevor Lawrence. He looks like a totally different player. There's a reason. It's Doug Peterson. The guy can do it. He's an NFL lifer, man. He played a position. He knows what these guys are looking at. So I thought that was really impressive, though, because Dallas came out and played well. That double-digit lead the whole first half, and Jacksonville comes back. But then, you know, going back to the NFC – I said last week, I think there's three teams that could go to the Super Bowl. I just don't feel like your Giants, even though it's a hell of a win, your Commanders, your Lions, as much as I love them, your Packers, if they were going to get in, and whoever the South, I just don't see those teams making noise in the playoffs.
Three teams.
And the NFC. That's going to end up on the matchups, because now you're going to have the bad division winner, probably with the Cowboys going there. And then how does that figure out in the bracket and who's left, and, you know, because they go best record against worst record, you know, reseeding.
Yep.
So that's interesting to a point, but I still think those top three have enough to get by. And I don't like the playoffs. I don't like the one bye, but that's another conversation for another podcast. But it's I get it. It's chaos. But when we're talking about your teams, you know, in the mix on the graphics and all that, it's an interesting thing to look at and try and dissect moving forward.
You know what I think sneaky is? The Cincinnati Bengals defense.
Love them.
If you watch Sunday, and I gave out the Buccaneers plus the 3.5, and it's 17-0, and I'm laughing because Burrow can do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking zero things, no things, nothing. And then the third quarter, that Bengal defense goes bananas. And does Tampa help? Yeah, they do. There's some penalties for sure that are costly. And Brady and Fournette can't get the handle right on a handoff. But, like, you know, picks are made. Brady struggled this year relative to who he's been his whole career. But I mean, Reader gets there and strips him, and he gets hit on a pass and allows the ball to pop up. They're making plays. Did Tampa gift wrap it? Sure. Mm-hmm. But it was because Cincinnati was out there playing inspired, desperate football. They lose Hubbard apparently for a period of time, and he makes a difference, and that's a concern. But Burrow's just such a bad and he was lousy in the first half. And then you give that dude a crack, and he's going to kick the door open with his big old steel-toed boot. And now here I am. Now what? Four touchdowns in the second half, four turnovers on four consecutive possessions. I know Tampa's not vintage, but those are not games that bad teams win. I said that about them when they won at Tennessee. Those are not games that bad teams win. Good teams win games like that. Cincinnati's a really good team. They've beaten the Chiefs three times in a row. Once last year, once at Arrowhead, and once at their place. Chiefs, go ahead.
I have a guy, a very good friend in the Bengals organization. And 2 weeks ago, I started. I'm like, do you guys just go in at halftime and put on Superman capes? Like, why don't you wear them to start the game? Go back to the beginning of the year when oh man, who was Damian Woody? It was a Thursday night game. Burrow was on the ground the whole first half. He doesn't get touched in the second half, and they win the game, and that started getting them going. But it's a credit to that staff, man. They are different. Their halftime. I mean, you talk to anybody that I always ask, you know, the NFL people, what's the biggest difference between, you know, big time college football and NFL? It's everything's magnified because of the lack of possessions. You know, the clock's running that much more. Possessions are that of essence. And to be able to do that and turn it around, you need so many things to go your way. And you touched on it. Did Tampa contribute to that? Yes. But why was it? Because the Bengals kept constant pressure on them. Guys in the backfield on run plays. Guys in Brady's face hitting his arm. That's a tribute to their staff and their adjustments for things that they had to get turned around. And they made. And it's crazy. The NFL halftime is the fastest thing in the world.
Yep. Blinking, it's over.
I mean, you literally – I mean, the coaches do a great job now with the iPads and have everything set. But it's literally a 2-minute conversation. That's by the time everybody gets to the locker room, between the coaches in the box, the players coming off the field, the head coach doing a halftime interview, you got about 3 minutes to get everything set. And it's just it's amazing to see the changes that could be made and the production that comes out of it. And you know, a tale of two halves has been said, whatever. But when you think about what has to go into that, it really is amazing what these guys could do on the run.
They went tempo there. They got a
field goal right before the half.
They went quick, and just maybe it's something like they talk about, like get a shooter a layup, just see the ball go in the basket, and then everything changes. Like Burrow got a couple completions. They got down the field, got in field goal range, and it was 17-3 at the half. And who is that it? I don't know. I just, whatever it was, they had 30 minutes to work with, and they scored 34 straight points. Mm-hmm. And that's an impressive group. Kansas City, I feel like I'll admit this. I'm just bored of you. I've been doing this for so many years of just going, yeah, no, you're great. You're still great. Yeah.
Still make them the favorite. I really do.
Until further notice, yeah,
I really do.
How can you not? And Cincinnati might say, "Well, wait, no, you know what we're saying.
We're saying
that this is just they have. It's rare in sports. Happens with Alabama football, certain programs in basketball that get it for certain, get benefit of the doubt. Kansas City gets benefit of the doubt. They figure out how to win games. They weren't great on Sunday." Give the Texans credit. That's 2 weeks in a row against the Cowboys and the Chiefs. They went to overtime with the Chiefs. They had the Cowboys beat. Pierce doesn't get hurt, and they've got him on the goal line late. I think they would have won that game. They ended up getting
a field goal.
Well, they'd have been up six. They would have lost to the touchdown they gave up. I understand your point.
Thank you.
I'm just giving the Texans some love. They won one game. The last 2 weeks, they battled the Cowboys and the Chiefs.
We love all types of Texans in football. Okay, little guys and the big
right.
guys.
That's right.
They're Texan lessons. Pride.
That's what it's about. We have it.
Even though we're in the portal.
Yep, it's true. Respect my decision. Still no interviews. Under the weather.
Double visits planned.
Actually, I'm going to have to be in home. I'd wear a hazmat suit, though, if you come to my house. Little beekeeper, full wrap. But I'll admit that it's just, I don't know, there's nothing new to talk about with you. You're the same as you always are. Mahomes is ruthless. McKinnon's been an interesting weapon here in these last few weeks, you know? They've unleashed him. You know, Pacheco runs as hard as anybody. He's been a revelation. But McKinnon in the passing game these last couple of weeks, if you had him stashed somewhere, you're like, whoa, what do we have here? He's a league winner, Steve.
Think about the week of being a defensive coordinator and have to prepare that for that team.
No, thank you.
Good Lord. God
it
bless.
It would just suck so much because you can't get him off the field on third down. No. If you do, there's probably a flag.
How many Diet Cokes would you drink during that week?
I mean, not any. I can't. Not more than I already do because there's no number more than a billion.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, we've waited until this long. I don't know what to say about the end of the Raider-Patriot game other than I'll ask you, as someone who's been on the field in that situation, you've explained that you practice nothing more than a two-minute.
Mm-hmm.
And when those situations come, you're prepared for those moments because it's a fire drill. You got 22 huge human beings out there all running around.
Mm-hmm.
You're not sitting on the couch. It's not clean. You don't have a clock up in the corner. It's not as sterile as you would want it to be. Having said that, it appeared that what happened, and Jakobi Meyers essentially said as much after the game, like he just was guilty of doing too much.
Yep.
And as a result, the most as crazy an ending to an NFL game that we've seen in a long, long time happened. I was thinking about this throughout the day. Since the kick six at Auburn, I can't remember a game that ended where I found myself thinking out loud, what am I watching? Because this is actually happening. I couldn't believe it.
The national championship with Tua to Devontae, being on the sidelines and watching him get sacked and losing 17 yards on the first play of overtime after Georgia lost 12 yards and kicked a 51-yard field goal that'll go down as one of the most clutch field goals that never meant anything.
Rodrigo.
Yeah, and to see Tua laying on the ground and get back up, get the signal, get the snap. Next end, I mean, I'm standing right there in the end zone. Ball's in the air. Devontae Smith catches it. It's over. National championship's won. That still will go down as the most amazing thing because of how fast it happened. And I get it. People are in awe of what happened with the Raiders and the Patriots yesterday. But it's not – when you think about what happens, all that Meyers was great. He owned it. He said it. I tried to do too much, and it's just the situation, Scott. That's the one thing. People talk about pressure. People talk about knowing a situation, and when you haven't done it, you might get an inkling in your mind, and it starts with Ramondre lateraling the ball. He shouldn't have done that. It's a tie game. You're tackled. The clock is at zero. Go down, and you go to overtime. And that's how little it was, because now he laterals it. Meyers is like, oh, we got to score. And, you know, you never know what happens in somebody's mind.
He sprints 15 yards backwards, throws it to a guy who in the all 22 is not in the frame when he throws it. And what's amazing is Chandler Jones, who had Ramondre tackled.
He got stiff-armed by Ramondre.
Get off me. Child's play. So much determination, though. And he got stiff-armed onto the logo, stands up, catches the ball, and then he scored. And what's incredible about the All-22 is you see all these different people in various states of disbelief and surrender cobra, and one guy chucks a helmet. Bill's got his arms folded the entire time. Mm-hmm. Never changes. And penny for your thoughts, $1 billion for Bill's thought bubble as he's watching Chandler Jones run down the field. I mean, they could miss the playoffs because of that. Is there any guarantee they win in overtime? Of course not.
No.
But there's 100% chance they lose when Chandler Jones returns that for a touchdown, which he did.
Mm-hmm. And it obviously we've never seen it before. But I will say, when you're going with the pitchy woo woo, You got to know the score situation. And also, here's my request. If you're, and that wasn't a true pitchy, pitchy woo. It turned into one. It got there. Yeah. But listen, Tim Hasselbeck and I watch every game every Sunday together in our room. We ask every single time it comes up at the 3:30 window or at right before the 4 o'clock's end. If you are going to run pitchy, pitchy, woo-woo, put all your skill guys on the field. That includes the quarterback. Get them out. Give me DBs. Give me running backs. Get the offensive line out and line up my most athletic guys. That's who you got to have out there. Somebody's going to do it.
And if you refer to pitchy, pitchy, woo-woo, you just footnote where it originated. We invented it.
Sure did.
A lot of things happen in Vegas that could be described as the mayhem moment, right? But the ending of the Patriot-Raider game, without question, the mayhem moment, which is brought to you by Allstate. Get protected from mayhem this year when you switch and save with Allstate. All-timer.
Mm.
I can't think of anything else I have from this weekend from the NFL. I'm sure I'm forgetting something obvious, but my riddled with medications trying to stave off infection for America.
You got the Christmas music playing to keep you in a good mood, keep you in the spirit?
No, I'm in a terrible mood, and I'm gonna tell you why. It's been a while. It's been a while since I've done something that I hate, but I'm not trying to be Scrooge, and this is not bah humbug, but this is important because this is something I hate.
Steve and I have lengthy lists talking about this guy or this thing or this whatever. Once a week, one thing a week.
Here's what I hate.
All right, Steve, you like to make fun of me with the weather, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So I like the weather, particularly the winter weather. I pay attention to things.
It's closer to love than like.
Yeah, thank you. That's accurate. Because I love the event. Mm-hmm. I love a winter weather event, and I'm hardly alone. The internet has helped us understand that there are many, many, many of us out there. there's this information that's available. They're the models, okay? They're the long-range weather models. You have the Euro, you have the GFS. There are others. I'll just keep it to the most sort of Coke and Pepsi style names.
Got it.
That people
Good
know.
For me.
Okay. Now they come out. You have the 12Z, you have the 0Z, you have noon, you have late night. Late at night, I'm waiting for the Euro. Because last week, Steve, right around this time, all the weather nerds out there, the people that know the models better than I, started sending out the signal.
They're chirping.
What do we have here? All of the earmarks, all the signals, all the models, Steve, are in agreement. We have negative NAO. What does that mean? Don't worry about it. We had this giant blocking. We had a polar express. We had cold air. We had an active pattern. Everything is setting up for an East Coast snowstorm, an event. How big? Don't know. But in the long range, you start getting these snow maps. Again, GFS, Euro, and others. And it's eye candy. It's weather porn. Holy crap. We're going to get decked right in advance of Christmas. I'm not talking 1 to 3, 5 to 8, maybe more. Now, up in Connecticut, 1 to 3, that's not even enough to get our attention.
Mm-mm.
But in the DMV, 1 to 3 is all we need.
Mm-hmm.
Just need the ground to be white.
So where is it?
So as we're driving around, we can say, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go. Well, guess what? It's not looking like Christmas. It's looking like it's going to be 50 and rain. You want to know why? Because all those models are full of and it's going to be a cutter. What's a cutter? That's when it goes west of us and it lets all this mild air coming up the East Coast. You want to know why? Because those models are crap. And all these weather goons, I'm one of them, are on there talking about the models. But you know what the models are? The models are like if you tweeted out, here's our projection for what next week's games are going to be. And the models are suggesting that the team you root for is going to win. Well, guess what? It's make-believe. Looking at that model that says your team's going to win next week, it's just a model. And then when you get closer and you realize, oh, wait, this guy might not play or other information comes in, we're not going to win. But we talked ourselves into this win, and a white Christmas with a big event in advance of Christmas is as big a win as a guy like me can get. I don't want a lot for Christmas. I don't need anything. What do you want? Nothing. If I want something, I get it within reason. I don't mean like rich guy stuff. I mean, I don't need like a belt. I got it. I'm set. What do you want? I want it to snow. And this time a week ago, the GFS and the Euro, all the signals. Well, guess what? Weather nerd people. No. Long-term modeling is nonsense. And all of us, me included, we fall for it every time. Like Charlie Brown running up to kick the football. We have got to stop doing that. You've got to stop sending out maps a week out that show us buried. Because it's not going to happen. Because it's going to be a cutter and it's going to rain.
And this isn't the cutter where the World Cup was.
No. It's not a great event. That was awesome, by the way. Shout out to Messi and Mbappe and everybody else. And Cantor, what a great call. Campeón del Mundo. Not a good cutter. Bad cutter. And so...
The models suck.
Sometimes they get it right. Mm. But particularly in the DMV... It seems really hard to figure out when all the elements are going to come together in such a way that it's actually going to work. And so to all of you out there that help fan the flames of this because of our shared obsession, stop it. Now, you could say to me, and you'd be right, hey, Van Pelt, just don't go read those people's sites.
Can't do it.
But wait, what if the 12C GFS?
What if they're right?
What if zero? What if the late night Euro says, we're going to get a little bit more. We're going to get a secondary redevelopment off the Delmarva. That's going to become the dominant low, Steve. Then that's going to pull the cold air in. Then bingo, we get a flash freeze and a quick couple inches. That's all we need. That's all I need, Steve. But you know what? They're not going to get it.
No. So we'll say this. Those models are trying to predict weather in the future. They suck. You know what they need?
They need a model
that predicts the future where the model goes 22 games over 500.
That's what they need. But you know what? The models aren't as good at predicting the future as I am.
Winners.
11-3 in the NFL for free cable. Steve said it's not talked about enough. I'm like, I talk about it plenty. It's two pretty good years in a row.
Just keep stacking them up. You get a raise for that, right?
Nope.
Oh, we got to change that.
We're going to fix a lot of things.
All right, I got one thing I hate, and it's going to be quick.
Okay, not as long as me yelling about the models.
No, we're all getting right, traveling this weekend.
Oh, God.
We're getting robbed.
What happened?
When you say you have internet on the flight.
Oh, man. Here we go.
And you say I could stream stuff and watch stuff, or my phone will even work. And I pay whatever it is, and it doesn't work.
Refund him his money.
It's BS. And I get it. People need it. But something's going on, and somebody's stealing some money there. That's all I'll say to that. And best news I heard, because spending a little time there, Kansas City's getting a new airport. Thank the Lord.
Not a great airport.
You can't have terminals that are smaller than a grammar school hallway. You can't, and they do. Every one of them.
One last thing. I wasn't on the plane, but Steve, you showed me a picture of a person.
Wow. I didn't want to get into this.
I'm just going to bring this up. We see the pictures on Twitter, all right, of the person that has no socks and shoes on, and they put their foot up on the wall.
First class.
We live in a society.
Yeah. People.
You have got to stop that. And if you're not the person that does that, if you're sitting next to that person, you need to give them reckless eyeball and say, we live in a society. Do something.
This isn't a zoo.
Get your crusty ass foot off the wall.
In a sock and put a shoe on.
Society. You're not in your house.
I got to start traveling with extra socks to give people.
You're here with other people. We're all just trying to get from Kansas City back to D.C. All right.
Good
and
Lord.
Nobody wants to see your bunions.
No.
No one wants to see any of that. Sort that out.
Yeah. Figure it out.
Hope everybody has a great Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everybody. Happy holidays.
It's going to get really cold here in the DMV after the cutter comes through. That's great. And we'll get a flash freeze and everything will be green and really cold.
Mm.
Yep. Caught you know, the song's not I'm Dreaming of a Green Frozen Christmas, is it? That's not what it is. But a week ago, this is the best setup I've seen. It's we're definitely gonna. No, we're not. Don't lie to people like me. I'm gullible.
Bad.
And I'm hopeful. That's a terrible combination. Hopeful and gullible. All right.
All right.
Hope everybody has a great Christmas. We'll be back a week from Monday. We'll be back next.
We'll be here
now. We'll have a little post game recap. Who knows? Maybe we'll get lucky.
We'll see. Maybe
we'll get a little energy transfer, a little redevelopment.
All right.
Merry Christmas. Thanks for listening. Happy Hanukkah. Happy everything. Be good. Be nice to each other. Take care of the people. Take care of you. All right.